Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
You are listening to the Glass Cannon Network, the premier source for role-playing game entertainment. Welcome to Cannon Fodder, a behind-the-scenes look at the Glass Cannon Network.
Yo! What is going on, everybody? Welcome back to Cannon Fodder. It is Wednesday, November 8th, 2023, and I'm your old pal, Joe O'Brien.
And I'm Troy. All I want for Christmas is you.
Is you.
Ooh, baby.
Welcome back, everybody. In the world of Troy LaValle, we are thick into the Christmas season.
So fucking thick.
So fucking thick. Into the Christmas season.
Thick as a nog.
I am, fun fact, on vacation right now.
Not actually here.
Through the magic of television, we're recording this way early, actually, because I'm on vacay week of November 8th.
Where are you?
It's my birthday week. This is amazing. I am returning to Asheville, North Carolina.
Lovely.
It is the first place we did a show that was new to me. That I was like, I am coming back here on vacation. and I actually did it. I couldn't believe it. Pulled it off. Got the wife and her parents interested and my kids and everything. And we're driving down, dude. 10-hour drive.
Driving down to Asheville.
My 10 Lord. Hours. And staying for a week in Asheville. Well, not a week. It's like 5 days in Asheville. So wow. Freaking excited. We're going to do hiking and zip lining. And then also just the breweries and the restaurants. Oh, man, I'm so excited.
And it's your birthday.
And it's my birthday. Yeah.
Do me a favor. Week. On your birthday, text me to remind me it's your birthday.
You got it, buddy.
And then I'll have somebody send you a happy birthday text.
No, I know exactly what's going to happen. I'm going to text you to remind me that it's my birthday. And what you write back is going to be so mean. It's going to upset me for at least 2 or 3 hours. And I'm going to have
you're
to
gonna
like
laugh so hard. Like, I can't believe he wrote that.
I can't believe he wrote that in this day and age. In this day and age. What's up, everybody? We are recording FOD a little ahead this week, but we're very excited to talk about episode 8 of the GCP. We're a little light on news this week. It's actually kind of a quiet week at the GCN because I'm on vacation, which is awesome.
Ooh, it's starting to wind down the whole year, man.
Yeah.
I'm ready for it.
I mean, we sort of build that way. We like to take, you know, more time with our families over the holidays. And so it's going to be a little bit quieter on the news front, but we'll talk about episode 8, Crazy Combat. We'll get into We Are Stupid, and of course, we'll have a little listener mail. So we got a good show for you here today, even if it's a little bit shorter than usual. News, I have next to nothing. Next week, we'll have Gloomhaven on Friends of the Pod. We'll talk more about that in next week's fodder. But otherwise, yeah, it's a pretty quiet week, and we're actually recording this before Extra Life went off.
Yeah.
So, like, we don't really know how it all played out. You know, we can't look back at it yet, unfortunately. So, sorry we can't, do a little recap or what's the word I'm looking for? Debrief. A little debrief
yeah.
on Extra Life. You know, maybe that'll be in the next FOD.
I'm sure we hit our goal, and that's very exciting. But, yeah, man, I'm just looking at the calendar right now, and it's Thanksgiving soon.
I know. I mean, we're coming right up on it. It's Thanksgiving soon. You know, it is imminent is the season 5 finale of Get in the Trunk. Is coming hot down the pipe.
Oh, that is coming hot. What is
I'm not 100% sure what day it airs. I knew it was in November.
I know, but I don't know if they know.
Yeah, they don't know yet. So we're not going to set up this week. We'll say that, but it's not this week. So,
yeah, shit, that's coming. And dude, it's already like time for PAX Unplugged. So we're a month away from PAX Unplugged, and that show is sold out in Philly.
sold out.
A month and a half in advance, that shit sold out.
Dude, love Philly. You gotta love Philly. Right? Come on.
Philly's fine. What's more exciting is the new Christmas sweaters we have.
Oh, yeah.
Glass Cannon Christmas sweaters featuring the Campaign 2 cast.
Slinging merch. Always slanging merch.
Slinging merch.
Did you know you could find this shirt at glasscannonnetwork.com/store?
That Norse Foundry shirt?
No, I'm saying, this actually happens to be one of our sponsor shirts. Thank you, Norse Foundry. No, but I was saying when you did it in the episode, you did it in the Glass Cannon episode with the dragon shirt. It was just so funny. It shit cracked me up. So, yeah, I mean, news-wise, that's pretty much it. We got a sold-out show. There's no other tickets to sell. We have a finale coming soon in Get in the Trunk. We've got Friends of the Pod Gloomhaven coming. So, yeah, why don't we just focus on this week's episode.
Just jump into the show. We got a lot going on.
Canon Podcast.
Yes.
It starts with Doorgate. The debate.
Doorgate.
Of closing the door. Mm. You don't seem to like this. This seems very... seems like this irked you, the closing of the door, the extra action that Lucky had carried over from the previous episode. Let's talk about one thing that very clearly does not happen at other tables. The difference between doing a show and not doing a show. Because we get questions like this from time to time. What's different when you're doing a show? I'll tell you one thing that's very, very different. When a cliffhanger comes in the middle of your turn. You know, that is a pretty, pretty rare thing.
And you
thing
don't
to
play
happen.
For 3 weeks.
And then you don't play for 3 weeks, exactly. And you have an exact recorded record of what happened before. So you go back and listen to it. The door thing, it drove you nuts. And I don't know why. Your thoughts on the door thing?
No, it's fine. I just, you know, what is the goal here? You know what I mean? Like, the combat's inevitable. You're going to shut the door and they're going to be like, what? Must be nothing. You know, like I know the combat's inevitable.
The goal was to create more action economy usage on their end. But
no, I get it.
It also created it on our end, too.
Yeah, I mean, at the end of the day, the worst thing you could have done was close that door.
Yes.
And so that's fine if I have a chance to punish you for it. I just
So that's where this is leading. It does crack me up that you were so irritated by it. And I do think it's because mentally you thought of it differently than we all did. You thought that we were going to close the door as a way to end the encounter early. But like we were just thinking of it as a tactic to slow them down. What ended up happening, it was the perfect way to give them a chance to cast Shillelagh, which is, I would call it a life-ending spell, a PC killer. It's wild. And I've known Shillelagh since 1E. I've known Shillelagh for a very, very, very long time. And I never considered it anything special. And now I am terrified of it. Terrified. It makes me, in every ensuing Oak Steward fight that we have for the rest of this sort of like dungeon delve that we're doing right now, it makes me want to do everything in my power to jump these guys before they have a round to cast it. Because it is so terrifying.
Yeah, I'm looking at like first edition Shillelagh versus second edition to see if there's any like major differences.
Yeah, I'm not sure if...
they both become plus one weapons. You get your damage dice, increasing the number of weapon damage dice to 2. Yeah, so the damage is a little different. In first edition, it goes... A small club or quarterstaff transmuted deals 1d8 points of damage, medium 2d6, large 3d6.
So it increases the size of the weapon in terms of its damage dice,
gaining a plus one to attack and increasing the number of weapon damage dice to 2. You know, it becomes even more dangerous.
So yeah, here's the 2E version. The target grows vines and leaves, brewing with primal energy. It becomes a plus one striking weapon while in your hands. Absolutely brutal. and it doesn't seem to have any heightening power, which means that while this is terrifying and deadly right now, it's not going to scale. Right? I mean, it says specifically it becomes a plus one striking weapon. So it's not really going to You know, if you cast this as a fourth level druid or a sixth level druid, like it's not going to make a plus one striking staff any more powerful. It doesn't make it a plus two greater striking weapon, right?
Right.
So it really is horrible now, and then it's just going to kind of go away and not be a pain to us in the game as we go forward. Seems like a very early game spell.
Yeah, I'm launching Foundry right now to like look at it on my sheet. One thing I couldn't figure out is like every time I drug Shillelagh to the character, it didn't offer the benefits of Shillelagh on the character thing. So I had to always do it in my head or create a separate entry. Mm. So if somebody knows why that doesn't work, hit me up in the Discord. That was really bothering me and I could not find an answer because some spells, it definitely does change the Johns, but for that one, I couldn't figure it out. All right, let's see. Shillelagh, you staff two hands. So straight up, they're doing 1d4 plus two damage. Okay. And then when you use it two handed, it becomes 1d8 plus two. When you Shillelagh it, it's 2d8 plus two. And then on a crit, that's real, real nasty. You know, that's got a max of 36 points of damage, which is
real, real nasty.
PC killer.
We're just going to roll this right into We Are Stupid because it all is kind of combined. It is also brutal if you, and this is going to sound more accusatory than I mean. I think it's an honest mistake, but you have to keep in mind as we go forward here the extra action to grab your weapon as two-handed. Professor Eric points it out as the guy that opened the door. So the guy that opened the door needed another action. He could have attacked one-handed with a plus one striking, but it would be 2d4 plus two, not 2d8 plus two.
For sure.
So
you brought that up a couple episodes ago, and we'd already recorded these. That's a good point. I still don't think it's super game-breaking because I'm not going like full gas. So I think it kind
which is terrifying.
Yeah, I think it kind of evens out. But it's really good to know because especially for you guys as well, when we start getting into two-handed weapons or casting spells, which cause you to remove a hand and then you've got to regrip that hand, you know, that's going to be very, very important.
Let's talk about Cucumber. Cucumber comes into this fight, and what surprised me, I don't know if I said it in the episode, but what surprised me is that Cucumber is not an animal companion. Is that correct? Are you looking at this sheet? Like, the Cucumber is a pet, so it acts on its own. Like, it has its own initiative. It does its own attacks. If anybody out there was like, hey, wait a minute, how come this thing did move, attack on its own? Like, that's because it's its own combatant. It's not one of the druid's animal companions.
Right. Yep.
Yeah. So it's just something to point out there.
Bringing up the encounter now.
Overall, absolutely brutal encounter. Mainly because we just can't hit this second Oak Steward, and Brother Ramius is pretty. I felt pretty useless. I even had one round where I was like trying to make peace. I feel like it was in character, but I also trying to not kill the guy. I feel like it was in character, but I also feel like tactically it was awful because like we were in a real, real bad situation. Now I also don't have much to go on to put out a lot of damage, and our damage dealer started to go down. I believe Lucky goes down at one point, at least prone. Talitha definitely goes down, gets bleed damage. Persistent damage. It's a real shit show, and we get out of it by the skin of our teeth. And one of the major reasons that it became such a shit show is because of how hard these guys hit with Shillelagh. And one thing that you brought up was massive damage. So let's talk about massive damage for a second. I believe you're going to talk about it more in a later episode. So it's not that we have to dig too much into it. But I do want to point out something interesting that Professor Eric brought up. So let's go to Demiplane and just real quick look at massive damage, which I thought, the way that you had talked about it before, was a optional rule. It's just in the rules.
Yeah.
it's under death effects and instant death it's under like other death effects or something. I can't remember.
You just had it.
I know, but I can't remember what title this is under in the core rule book. But then you get massive damage. A very simple one sentence entry. You die instantly if you ever take damage equal to or greater than double your maximum hit points in one blow. We discussed this on air. It put Zephyr down in like our first combat down out by the unicorn fight. It's really, really, really scary. And so Eric just points out that this rule, you know, while PFS players go by the book most of the time. I mean, that you have to, because you have to have a shared understanding of the rules that is not affected by home rules. Right. PFS as a society adopted a modified rule to massive damage. And here's why. Because at level 1 and 2, it is, I think, imbalanced for what it's meant to be.
Yeah.
And it gets better after that. So PFS
I feel that. And so I'm thinking of modifying it because I'm like, it's just something seems off about it.
Yeah. So here's how they modified it in Pathfinder Society. Quote, if a character has fewer than 20 hit points, treat their hit points as 20 when determining if their character dies from massive damage. So it's just like a little bit of a bump. So if first level character has 15, 16 hit points.
Oh, so it's 40.
You treat it as you have to, would have to get to 40 to get double damage. And none of the hits that you've done so far have been 40.
Yeah.
But they've been close. You had like a 34, I think. You had like a 32 in there.
Yeah, so those a crit on these shillelaghs is 36, but these are named characters. You know what I mean? If I nat 20 and you pull a times 3 crit, I mean, that's Permajohn, which is kind of fine with, but yeah, it was kind of shitty. You know, I think back to Giant Slayer. Like, if Lork had been beheaded by Ingrahil from that fan critical, that is really shitty, but also amazing. And so it's like, what makes something really shitty and what makes something amazing? You know, it's hard to tell. Like, just having one of these Oak Stewards just pull a fan crit for a times 4, like, bullet staff, and it just, blah, times 4 crit kills. That'd be brutal. But if we're you can't, like, if you're going to use fan criticals, then that's part of the game.
It is a huge fight. It was skin of our teeth, but we get by. Talitha is proving to be a really good, almost like frontline fighter in a lot of cases, which has been awesome. And now we're left in this place that is so mind-boggling. Like, what in the hell is going on here? And I think it was a really fun way to end the episode. It's like, you're in this place, you're finally out of immediate danger, but what the hell is going on here? You're in this horribly trashed room that, like, clearly they've let it go, and these other creatures were in there, not Oak Stewards. So who's in charge? Is anyone in charge? And what are we going to find through one of these other two doors that are in front of us before we move forward? So anyway, exciting app. Looking forward to the next one.
Yeah.
Let's kick it to a little listener mail.
Texting privacy policy and terms and conditions posted at textplan.us. Texting enrolls for recurring automated text marketing messages. Message and data rates may apply. Reply stop to opt out. Individual results may vary. Consult a doctor prior to use.
You've lost so much weight. How'd you do it?
I got medical treatment for weight loss through Zelty and lost 50 pounds. I struggled for the longest time, but Zelty makes it easy and affordable to get weight loss treatment 100% online. Zelty providers can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications clinically shown to help people lose weight, like Wegovy, Zepbound, and others.
I've heard those medications can help you lose weight, but aren't they expensive?
Zelty can help get the medication covered by insurance, so it's as little as $0 a month.
What if you don't have insurance?
No problem. Zelty may be able to help you get other GLP-1 medications for 80 to 90% off the price of name brand medications.
I'm ready to start losing weight. How do I get started with Zelty?
Just text.
Text LOSE to 200-300 to get started today with Zelty and see if weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound are right for you. Don't wait. Text now for a link to your exclusive offer. Text LOSE to 200-300. That's LOSE to 200-300. LOSE to 200-300.
Sheboygan.
Sheboygan, Wisconsin.
It's time to listen to mail. Gotta get your brain up on it. Time to listen to mail. Gotta cue that fucking
All right. This one comes in from, I don't know how to pronounce your name, I apologize, Cathal? Cathal from Ireland, from County Cork in Ireland. Cathal? I don't know. I apologize. Awesome name, though. Asks, I thought you'd like this one. I'm teeing this one up for you. Hey, guys. I just wanted to ask, given all the amazing content that has come from it, was New Game Who Dis the best decision you ever made as a network? Troy, your thoughts.
Since it was my idea, yes.
Yeah, exactly. I knew that would feed right into your ego nicely to round out the episode.
It's partly, yes, partly just the decision to expand beyond Pathfinder was one of the best decisions we could make. You know, so often I still feel like even with all our success, we're like the redheaded stepchild of the TTRPG actual play scene. It's like no one ever fucking talks about us. And maybe there's a little chip on our shoulder because of that. But like also we're wildly successful and we make a lot more money than really successful shows. And that allows us to do a lot of cool things and bring in a great group of people and hire employees. Like we have people who have health insurance. I mean, it's just insane what we do that's so different, but nobody fucking talks about us. And that's fine. However,
when you say nobody, I would clarify you're talking about like gaming media, gaming media. We're not really on the radar.
Yeah, when you Google best actual play podcast, the fact that we don't come up to like 10 results in is a fucking sin. But it's fine. It's fine. It doesn't bother me. I don't need trophies. I'm not chasing
accolades.
But
we want other people to be able to find us.
That's the thing. It's like, I think if we had more if we were out there a little bit more and talked about, more people would discover us and realize how fucking great we are. And we'd be able to then grow the company and do even more cool things. But you know, we're limited by the fact that no one's really chatting about us. Limited in some ways, not in others. But we would really hitched our wagon to the Paizo Star for a long, long time. And when the pandemic hit, it was the span of like 3 or 4 days. I'm just like, what the fuck do we do? What do we do? What do we do? I don't want to record stuff remotely and have it sound different than our first couple hundred episodes. And it was like, all right, well, we got to do this. And then what if we just start playing other games and see what happens? We've always talked about wanting to do it. What if we do that as a way of like getting people excited and attracting people? And, you know, we were just doing audio remotely. And then I was like, we should do this every 3 weeks for an entire year, like have the game change. Because I had realized and we'd all known that like, when we put out a first episode of something, it gets more views than anything. So it's like, we should have a first episode of something every few weeks and watch that start to snowball and then have people be checking out games because they want to see an actual play of it who had never heard of us. I mean, so many people discovered us just by looking for games. You know, if you want to watch, if you want to buy Mork Borg or you're interested in Mork Borg, you Google Mork Borg, we come up immediately. And now that might lead you to a live show of ours one day or buying our merch. And so, yeah, in many ways that was like, I don't know if it was like the best decision we ever made, but it was like, it was the decision that has taken us to the next level of our company. And now we've diversified our content. So we got a little bit of something for everyone.
Yeah, I agree. I don't necessarily know that it's the best decision as a company or as a network we've ever made. I would say by far it's the best decision as gamers that we've ever made to not sort of limit our – I mean, you kind of said that in your first line. It's like the decision to try games outside of D20 fantasy games is just something you and I had not done. Like, did you play when you were in middle school? Any other game besides D&D?
Yeah, I played MERPs. I played Middle Earth Role Playing. I played the Marvel Superheroes game.
Okay.
We dabbled in some other stuff, but like our main thing, our campaign that we played was AD&D. But as we started going to conventions, not just PaizoCon, but like PAX and everything, I would see all these games. I was like, oh my God, I want to play all of these games, but we were still kind of, we had just started getting into full time and it was taking all of our time just to create the content that we were creating, let alone try and learn a new system. But
I also didn't, like, I didn't have any interest. I always wanted to, when we were at those cons, I always wanted to try new board games.
Yeah.
But I never was like, I didn't need any more role-playing games in my life besides Pathfinder. And I certainly didn't need any games that were fiction forward. Fiction first. Like, I didn't need more improving and role play. I wanted more tactics, more battling. That was my favorite part of the game. Well, you know, drag me kicking and screaming into new game Who Dis, and suddenly, I mean, I Delta Green like blew my mind. And then like Twilight 2000, I loved it so much. And it had both things. Like, yes, it has narrative, but especially in the case of Twilight or any of those Mutant Year Zero engine games, like, it had fun tactics too. Really fun, chunky things to dig into. Blades in the Dark. Wah! You know, like, I just, it made me enjoy gaming so much more than I even thought I could. It was my favorite thing in the world, and it became even more awesome after starting to see what other games were out there by other publishers. So yeah, it changed. And we've talked about this before, it then reverse engineers the way that you play Pathfinder. It's
absolutely.
Like once you start playing games like Blades and Delta Green and Cthulhu, and I mean, just the way that you use horror in these games and the way that you build tension, the way that you build investigations, like they're just everything can help. The experience will not make you worse. Certainly. It'll only make you a better gamer.
Yeah, it was a great decision for like a million reasons, some obvious, some a lot deeper.
Yeah. Yeah. Ultimately, though, I will say Lifting the Veil as a company, it's been pretty cool, but it has been, you know, these games still don't really get their due. You know, like you could talk about us not being in mainstream media, gaming media enough, but like these games aren't either. And we're trying, you know, through things like New Game Who Dis to raise the profile of these companies. But everything gets dwarfed so much by Wizards and Paizo and, you know, Chaosium to a certain extent. So it's just like getting these other publishers out there is also something we love to do because people should be playing these games. They're phenomenal. And, the hardest part I think people run into is just getting their gaming group to do it because
yeah.
It's a real hassle. People have full-time jobs. They got kids. They got whatever. It's like, look, man, I've only got 2 to 4 hours a week to play in total. And so I'm going to keep playing my Pathfinder campaign. I don't have time to learn something new. I get that sentiment. But like, you got to drag them kicking and screaming. That's how I got pulled in. And now I'm a convert.
I got to go. Close out can of fun.
Oh, shit. That's right. We ran out of time. All right, guys. Troy left. So now I can talk shit on him. No, this has been great. I'm going to play the old outro music here. Thanks for hanging with us, everybody. Oh, shoot. That's going to come in too hot. Troy threw me off. It has been a pleasure, as always, to hang with you guys. Thanks for watching. Thanks for letting me get away on a little vacation. Let's get Troy's John out of there. There we go. Just me. It's been a pleasure hanging with everybody until next week. Next week, we'll talk a little bit more about Gloomhaven as that's coming up, among other things. We got Thanksgiving coming. It's going to be exciting times. Until then, take it easy, everybody. Have a fantastic week and weekend, and we'll see you next time. Bye.
Thanks for listening to the Glass Cannon Network. For more podcasts and live streams, visit glasscannonnetwork.com. And for exclusive shows and content you can't find anywhere else, subscribe today at jointhenache.com.